Okay, now listen to this other part. All right? This is important. What about the other man in the story? There's another man in this story. He's the man that's totally under the control of that spirit of Legion. Remember that? Okay? And why? Why was he totally under control of that spirit? What was wrong with him? What was in him that caused that spirit to have total dominion over him? It was the woundedness in his soul. Let me prove it to you through scripture. It says right here that as soon as Jesus got out of the boat, this is in verse 2, there met him out of the tombs a man under the power of the unclean spirit. Verse 3, this man continually lived among the tombs. Verse 5, night and day he was among the tombs. That scripture, I couldn't help but notice, it mentions three times that that man lived among the tombs. Do you know what the word tombs means in the Greek? It means to recall or remember. It also means a monument set up to cause a perpetual remembrance. That's what a soul wound is, man. It's like a monument inside of you that causes you to recall and remember every hurtful event that's ever happened to you. It's like a monument set up inside of you that affects the way you think, that affects your emotions. It causes a perpetual remembrance of a bad event that happened to you. You might not even remember the event, but it is ingrained in your soul. So it's like a monument inside your soul set up, causing you to be perpetually affected by that wound. Perpetually affected by that event. It is the monument set up to cause you to remember and to have a perpetual remembrance of all the horrible things that have ever happened to you. That man lived among the tombs. He lived among the past. He lived among the soul wounds that were in his soul. And those wounds were giving Legion the legal right to afflict him, because he had something in him that was in common with that spirit, unlike the other man, Jesus, who had nothing in him that belonged to Satan. So Satan had no power over him. Did y'all catch that? This is a major revelation. This is a life-changing revelation. Are you getting it? Okay. When you have something in your soul that is in common with the demonic, it can affect every area of your life, even your finances. Let me tell you a story. When we went to Virginia, we had this pastor who was totally awesome. He was hosting us, him and his family. He was taking us around to every place, and just an amazing man of God, and his family was just wonderful people, right? While we were there, we were teaching on this stuff. So this is some of the revelation we were releasing. Teaching how to take dominion by having your soul man be healed, having dominion over the demonic. While we were there, Pastor told us a story about a group, an Eastern religion group that practiced Eastern religion and meditation. They had come into his area, and they had purchased 1,000 acres of land, and they had built this Eastern religion retreat. You should have seen this place. Lakes and big temples. It was like a miniature Disneyland, okay? When they first came to buy the property, they went to the head honchos of the town, I guess the mayor and his council, and asked, you know, if they could please buy 1,000 acres. And they convinced those people that if they let them come into that region, that they would boost the economy, that they would bring money to the economy and stimulate that town's economy. So unfortunately, the town agreed with them and allowed them to come in. But since the demonic is behind that, the exact opposite happened. As soon as that reached those people from that group moved into that area, the whole economy took a massive hit. People lost their jobs. And this was before the national famine. People lost their jobs. They lost their businesses. They lost their possessions. And the pastor that was hosting us and his family took a huge hit. I mean, they lost houses, plural. Cars, plural. Job that he'd had for a long time. With a high-level ministry, lost hundreds of thousands of dollars that they had in savings. They had lost it all, everything, when coincidentally that group moved into town. While we were there, I had a visitation one night. The Lord actually took me, he translated me to that property. And I began to walk around that property, and as I did, the Lord began to give me strategic things that I need to do in order to take dominion over that property for the people of that region. So the next day, I shared that encounter with the pastor and his wife and said, I believe we're supposed to go there and execute these strategies. So him and his wife threw me and my whole crew into a van, and 20 miles we go to this place. We walk in, and it was easy. It was easy. I just did everything the Lord showed me in this visitation, just walking it out. Bang, bang, bang. And it flowed. And the power was there. And there was no contending. There was no warring. It was just so simple and flowing because the anointing of God was in it. And because there was nothing in me that was in common with that region. So I had no resistance. Amen. Okay, so we're flowing. We go up to the last plate, this big old temple on the hill with the statue of Kali eating the baby or whatever it is up there. And we are releasing the last strategies the Lord told us to release. And a visible sign of an open heaven came in the skies. It just went whoosh, and opened up. We get back in the van, and for the entire 20-mile ride back to the pastor's house, I am burning with glory. Burning with glory. And my mind is caught up with so much joy in the presence of an open heaven, tangible glory manifestation. It was just like, and we began, all my crew, I said, it is glory time, girls. And they know what that means. They know they're to start decreeing in the glory. They're back there decreeing into this open heaven glory. It lasted the whole 20-mile trip. It was the biggest open heaven I've ever sat under. 20 miles at least. And the pastor's wife, who usually does not feel the manifestation, the tangible manifestation of heavenly glory, is sitting in the van marveling. She's going, wow, it's 9 o'clock at night, and I feel like I'm having a sunburn on my face. Open heaven glory. The next day, pastor comes and speaks with me in private. He said, when we went up there, it wasn't easy for me. When I walked into the sanctuary, he said, I literally was attacked so much that I almost had to go to the bathroom to vomit. He said, I was physically ill when we were up there. And as soon as he said that, I knew. I said, then pastor, there must be something in your soul that's in common with that region. And we need to have it healed so that you can continue to hold dominion after we leave. Right? So the next day, we're off to another conference he's driving us to, and we stop at some, you know, quick place to stop to get sodas and gas, and the Holy Spirit hits him in the parking lot, and he has a revelation. 20 years before that, he had been involved in Eastern mysticism for 5 years. Okay? Okay, now, I want you to stay with me as I explain this, okay? Okay. Do you think that pastor had repented of that? He's a good man of God. Probably had repented a million times for that. So what's the problem? When a wound is formed on your soul by sin, the sin gives the legal right for the demonic to attack you, right? You repent of the sin is gone. But the wound created by the sin is still there. And as long as it's still there, the demonic still has the legal right to attack you. Do you understand that very important precept that I'm teaching you right now? It's a very important precept. Okay, so check it out. When that group moved into town and everybody took a hit, the man of God took the biggest hit of all. Do we see now why? He took the biggest hit in his finances of all. Because, yes, there was something in his soul that was in common with the dark powers that were over that retreat area. And they were bringing financial ruin to the town. And because other pastors didn't get hit like him at all. Because that pastor had that wound in his soul, it caused him to lose houses, cars, hundreds of thousands of dollars in savings, his job that he had for 20 years. Do you see how important it is for you to have the wounds in your soul healed? Because they could directly be connected with demonic powers that can steal your blessing. And check it out. Wow, they come in. He doesn't even realize the wounds in his soul are causing him to lose all this stuff. And then over all those 3 years that happened, he loses everything. You know how that feels to a man of God to lose everything and have his family there going, that is total woundedness. So the wound he already had just got deeper, so deep that when he walked onto that property, he literally wanted to vomit. Whew. Are you getting anything? Are you understanding what I'm trying to teach you? Thank you, Jesus. All right. How do you heal the wound? I got 20 minutes. Whoa, I got to move fast. Okay, 20 minutes. There are many ways to heal your soul. The word of God is one. I think 1 James 21 says that we should receive the word implanted in us, which has the power to save our souls. The word can help heal your soul. Okay, counseling. I am not against Christian counseling and know a lot of good Christian counselors, but the problem is when I see people in Christian counseling, I don't see a dramatic change happening quickly. We need accelerated tool of healing for the soul. Accelerated tool of healing for the soul. People, we got to be healed now. There's a famine now. The kingdom of God needs us all to be prospering so that we can undergird the churches and the ministries to cause the kingdom of heaven to advance. We need to be healed in our soul now. As my team and I begin to press into a revelation about what is there must be God. There must be a supernatural tool that will cause an accelerated healing of the soul, man. What is it? And then we were praying into that, and one day one of my volunteers comes over and says, I had a dream. And I don't know if this means anything, but I had a dream that you were in a meeting, you were standing up to begin to release healing on people's soul, and all of a sudden Jesus showed up, and laser light beams began to shoot out of his eyes into the souls of everybody in the meeting, and they all start getting healed. Do you think that means anything? And I'm like, you think? I just had a quickening in my spirit. I knew God was beginning to unfold something for us, a key that could probably save the world. So when I heard that and I got that quick and I thought, now I need to see it in scripture because I won't believe it until I see it in the word of God. And I began to find it. When I went to Mount, I'm hurrying now because I'm running out of time and I want to tell you how to do it. I have 70 minutes, right, honey? So how many minutes do I have left? 70. That's how much a disc will hold. 20. Oh, here we go. I'm going to have to hurry. Okay. Malachi 4:2. The scripture says this. This is from the Amplified. It says, the Son of Righteousness, meaning Jesus, arises with healing in his wings and his beams. The word beams there actually means beams of light. So according to the scripture, Jesus Christ, Son of Righteousness, comes and arises on us with healing in his light. Okay, he uses light to heal. But can light heal the soul? Can it heal the wounds in your soul? I began to look at the word, he arises with healing in his wings. I began to look at the word healing there in the Hebrew. Okay, it is a word marpe in the Hebrew. And what it means is to have health, to have healing, and to be cured. It also means this, quote, to be sound of mind. Your mind is part of your soul, right? Everybody say it. Part of your soul. Okay, now that word marpe comes from a Hebrew root word, rapha. One of the meanings of the word rapha means to be healed of your personal distresses. Boy, that sounds like soul wounds to me, baby. So according to that scripture, the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, arises with healing for your mind to cause you to be sound of mind, healing for your personal distresses in his beams of light. Light is the accelerated tool that can heal your soul, the light of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to listen to this next scripture from Luke 11. This is in the Amplified. Listen to it. Your eye is the lamp of the body. When your eye or your conscience is sound and fulfilling its office, your whole body is full of light. But when it is not sound and not fulfilling its office, your body is full of darkness. Be careful, therefore, that the light that is in you is not darkness. If then your entire body is illuminated, having no dark part, it will be wholly bright with light, as when a lamp with its bright rays gives you light. You know what the scripture is talking about? The condition of your soul. Remember, what does the eye represent? The eye represents the soul. It says here, the conscience, right? Well, a conscience, according to the dictionary, is thoughts, sensations, awarenesses, mental faculties, that's your mind, and your emotions, and your will, your ability to choose right and wrong. The eye there that the scripture is talking about represents your soul. You've heard the phrase, the eye is the window to the soul. And according to the scripture, when your whole body is filled with light, then your soul will be sound and fulfilling its office. What does that mean? When you are completely saturated with the light of Jesus, then your mind, which is part of your soul, will be sound. It will be making the right decisions, doing the right choices, taking the right actions. It will be sound and fulfilling its office. When your whole body is filled with light, then your emotions will be sound and fulfilling their office. They won't be unbalanced and dangerous. They'll be straight, balanced, kingdom emotions. Your will be sound. You will have the ability to choose right and wrong. When your whole body is filled with light, your will be sound and fulfilling its office. The light is the accelerated tool for the healing of the soul, but not just any light. It's the light of Jesus, because it's the Son of Righteousness that arises with healing in his wings and his beams.